the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, so let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. And I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Singing that in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
The The persecution and stoning to death of Stephen brought trial and tribulation to the believers of Jesus of Nazareth.
We have no cause to stay here in Jerusalem.
Neither should we fear to remain here, simply because Stephen was stoned to death. God will take care of us, if we are true to him.
Well, I wasn't thinking of fear. This persecution is evil, perpetrated by Satan. Yet God may use it in the spreading of the gospel message. I was thinking of gathering together a small band and fleeing to some faraway place where we will be safe from persecution and can teach and preach the risen Savior.
I'm agreeable.
We do not have much time. So let's hurry around and see if we can find another family or two who will join us. There is only one major point to settle. Where are we going?
I was thinking of Antioch in Syria.
Any special reason?
Antioch is a thriving metropolis. The extensive commerce carried on there brings to the city people of various nationalities. An excellent place to preach the gospel. Then, too, Antioch itself needs reforming. It is renowned as a resort of lovers of ease and pleasure because of its beautiful surroundings and the wealth, culture, and refinement found there. It is a city of luxury and of vice.
May I remind you that none of you are preachers?
Actions speak louder and more eloquently than words, my dear. We can and shall live our religion. Any objections to going to Antioch? Earthly treasures we have none, only the treasures of heaven. So, shall we start immediately?
Greetings, stranger and neighbor. Welcome to Antioch.
Greetings, and God's peace upon you and your family.
My family? Oh, they're so busy with their friends and social affairs that I seldom see them. Are you troubled that way, too?
No. We are religious. We believe in God and worship him. So we are pretty much of a stay-at-home family.
Oh, good. Maybe I'll have someone to visit.
Anytime.
Well, here I am, ready for a long session of gossip.
I don't know enough about anyone here in Antioch to gossip.
Oh, I'll do all the gossiping then.
Actually, I don't believe in gossiping.
Oh?
Quite often it damages the one who is being gossiped about, also the one who is doing the gossiping.
You know, I'm glad to hear that. If you won't gossip about someone else, I know you won't gossip about me, and that's good.
Have you been to Jerusalem recently?
Oh, no. I know we should go to the yearly feast and ceremonies, but living so far away, we seldom go. Of course, we hear things. People from all the northern countries go through here on their way to and from Jerusalem, and they tell us things, but we believe hardly anything.
We just came from Jerusalem.
Really? Oh, then you can tell me the truth about what we've heard.
If I know the truth, I'll tell you. If I don't, I won't tell you anything. There's been so much happening. Perhaps you'd better just ask me what you want to know.
Well, a few years back, there was a lot said about the temple authorities in Jerusalem murdering a man. Of course, we didn't believe that.
But it's true. They nailed an innocent man to the cross.
That's what we heard. Oh, some said he was resurrected the third day. Oh, now, certainly that isn't true.
Oh, but it is true. However, he was not an ordinary man. He was the long-looked-for Messiah, the Son of God.
Oh.
Many people saw him after he was resurrected. Well, some even walked and talked with him, ate with him, saw the nail prints in his hands and feet.
You mean the prints of the nails used to nail him to the cross?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
His close disciples actually saw him ascend into heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father. And be our advocate.
Why, then what we heard is true.
Have you heard about Saul of Tarsus?
Saul of Tarsus? No. But tell me about him some other time. I'm going to rush over to the widow's house and tell her what you just told me. I'll see you later.
Unaware that a group of believers had fled Jerusalem and settled in Antioch, Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and certain others went to Antioch to proclaim publicly the gospel of a risen Savior. God blessed them. The colony from Jerusalem had prepared the way, and a great many believed and turned unto the Lord.
As you know, brethren, Tidings of many souls being added to the church at Antioch has reached us. They need help. Barnabas has volunteered his services. Shall we send him?
Yes.
When I first came here to Antioch, I was full of joy that God had blessed your efforts. I urge you to be faithful and true to the Lord with all your hearts. I shall leave you for a season. I'm going to Tarsus to search for Paul. He would be a great help. His learning, wisdom, and zeal would exert a powerful influence on this city of culture and pleasure-seeking people. Paul graciously agreed to return with me to help in this needy field. Tonight, we shall hold his first public meeting. Spread the news throughout the entire city that Paul, who once sought to destroy our church, is tonight going to speak for it. It should be very interesting and an inspirational meeting.
There, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus suffered untold agony. He suffered for your sins and mine. He suffered for mankind, that all who desire it may be saved into his everlasting kingdom. He was betrayed by one of his own disciples. He was tried and found innocent. Yet they nailed him to the cross, where he died of a broken and bleeding heart. Through it all, he lost not his royal bearing, his godlike piety, and he prayed for those who crucified him. Let not his suffering, his forbearance, his sacrifice, his resurrection and ascension into heaven be in vain. Accept of his love and sacrifice. Forsake your sins, abandon your evil ways. Obey his commandments of love and continue in righteousness, and you shall be saved. And there shall be great rejoicing in heaven, yes. The harp shall ring and the angels shall sing songs of praise.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
A tower. What's it look like I'm doing?
It looks like you're heading for that drugstore across the street.
Yes, that's what I do every day after school. You should know that.
But you always buy a candy bar there.
That's right.
Why?
Because I like candy bars, especially the ones with nuts.
But those aren't good for you. They have lots of calories and nothing to keep you from getting sick.
Want one?
Sam, I'm trying to make a point here. By going to that drugstore every day after school, you have formed an unhealthy habit.
I do want to be healthy.
Well, going there isn't going to help you very much, is it?
What should I do?
Make a new habit.
Like what?
Well, do you see Mr. Habib's fruit market over there by the bank?
Mr. Habib is a great guy. He can whistle two notes at the same time.
How about after school you go there instead of the drugstore?
Mr. Habib doesn't sell candy bars.
But he does sell apples, pears, and mangoes. They're sweet, delicious, and filled with things that will make you healthy. That way you can still buy an after-school snack, but your new habit won't rot your teeth and make you as fat as my Uncle Sydney.
What if I get hungry for a candy bar?
Then you eat an apple instead. Pretty soon, your brain will think, I'm hungry. I want an apple.
Okay, let's go see Mr. Habib. He's from Lebanon, you know. Do you think all people from Lebanon can whistle two notes at the same time?
We can ask him.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
And glorify the Lord. boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Do you ever feel left out, like your friends want to be with someone else instead of you? What if you really needed those friends to help you solve a mystery? Chris and Maria discover an old safe in their grandparents' basement, but no one knows the combination. Who gave them money to build the cross above Mill Valley? Chris and Maria think the answer is inside the old safe. As they follow the clues, Chris learns some important lessons about friendship and jealousy, and about being a Christian. Chapter 3, The Cross on the Hill. What makes you think Great-Grandpa donated that money? Chris asked, staring at his sister. We've only found these few things and nothing that says Great-Grandpa Archer had anything to do with the cross. Chris could tell Maria was getting really excited about something. She stood up and paced back and forth, thinking hard. I just know he did, but how can we prove it? I wish I could remember, she muttered. Remember what? Chris asked. He was sitting cross-legged on the floor with the wooden statue in his lap. I wish I could remember where I saw that picture of Great-Grandpa without a beard. Chris shook his head. That won't help us any. Maria dropped down on her knees in front of Chris. It might help. I remember that he was standing beside the cross. Maybe there's a clue in the picture. We'll just have to find it. Even if there isn't a clue in the picture, if the picture was taken 50 years ago, that would prove something. That would be about the same time the cross was built. Chris finally agreed. If you say you saw that picture, I believe you. After all, it's our only clue. Keeping out the statue Chris had found and Maria's handful of pictures of Great-Grandpa, they quickly repacked everything they had taken out of the boxes. Grandma was just putting her photo albums back in the cupboard when Chris and Maria got upstairs. Grandma put her finger in front of her lips and pointed toward the sofa. Yo-Yo was asleep, so Maria tiptoed into the living room and whispered to Grandma, "Can I look at those photo albums before you put them away, Grandma?" "Yes, dear. Did you find anything interesting downstairs?" Maria nodded. She gave Chris one album, and she took the other two. Then they went into the kitchen. "I found these old pictures," she told Grandma, pointing at the handful she had brought up from downstairs and set on the table. "And I found this, Grandma," Chris said, holding out the statue. "Oh, yes," Grandma exclaimed. "A friend of your great-grandpa's carved that for him many, many years ago. I had forgotten all about it. Your great-grandpa Archer was proud of his name, and that's why his friend thought of carving an archer. A long time ago in Europe, people didn't have last names. Then people started using the name of their occupation. That's how names like Mason and Baker and Archer came to be in use," Grandma explained. Chris carefully set the archer on the counter. "It sure is neat," he said in a whisper. Grandma smiled. She was watching the expression on Chris's face. "You may keep it if you wish," she said. "Of course, you would have to take special care of it. I'm sure your great-grandpa would have wanted you to have it." Chris was thrilled. "I'll take very good care of it, Grandma. Thank you." "And you may keep those pictures you found, Maria. And kids, you're welcome to go through that stuff down in the basement anytime. But don't take anything unless you ask permission first, okay?" Maria and Chris nodded in agreement. "Now, what are you two looking for?" Grandma asked. She went around the table and stood behind Maria. Chris joined her. "Well," Maria said, "I thought I remembered a picture of Great-Grandpa where he wasn't wearing a beard. He was standing beside the cross up on the hill, the one Pastor Hill told us the town is planning to have an anniversary celebration for." "Oh, yes, the pastor told me about it. I wonder who donated the money to build it." Maria glanced sternly at Chris out of the corner of her eye. Chris knew she was trying to tell him not to say anything, and he wasn't going to breathe a word of it to anyone either, at least not until they had more proof. "I suppose Pastor Hill's talking about the cross made you remember the picture you are looking for," Grandma said. She went over to the stove and turned on the rear burner under the tea kettle. "Would you like some hot chocolate?" "Yes," Chris said. "Please." "Thank you, Grandma," Maria said. Then when Grandma turned around, she waved for Chris to sit down beside her. "You look through that album," she told him. Chris pulled the photo album to him and opened it up. He studied each and every picture. There were hundreds of them, he guessed. Maria finished looking through her first album and opened another one. By the time Chris closed his album, the tea kettle was whistling. He waited for Grandma to shut it off, but she never came into the kitchen. Finally, he went over and turned it off himself. He stood there for a minute, looking around. "What's the matter, Chris?" Maria asked. "Notice how dark it's gotten," Chris said. Maria looked around as if she hadn't noticed anything but the photo albums in the past 15 minutes. "So? And where is Grandma? She didn't even hear the tea kettle whistling." Maria scooted her chair back and stood up. She pointed toward the counter. "And she's not the only one that's missing." Chris looked at the counter, right at the spot Maria was pointing. My statue, it's gone. Chris searched everywhere in the kitchen. Maria even helped some, but a quick search told them the statue was nowhere to be found. What could have happened to it? Chris asked, stomping his foot. It was right here just a minute ago. I don't know, Maria said, and where is Grandma? Chris shrugged again. She must be in the house somewhere. Well, if she were in the house, I don't think she would have left the tea kettle whistling like that, Maria said. Going to the back door, Chris opened it and looked around the backyard. She's not out here. When he got back to the kitchen, he shook his head. I don't know where she went. Let's check on Yo-Yo, Maria suggested. She and Chris went into the living room and found Yo-Yo still asleep on the sofa, but no Grandma. I don't believe she just disappeared, Maria said. I don't think so either, Chris murmured. Let me check down the hall. He checked Grandma and Grandpa's bedroom and the spare room. Maria was waiting on the sofa beside Yo-Yo when he got back. She's not in the house anywhere, he told Maria. Maria looked worried. This is scary, she said. Suddenly, something banged against the front door, and Chris nearly jumped out of his shoes. See what it is, Maria told him. Chris gave her a doubtful look. I don't know. He let out a breath of air and started forward. When he got to the door, he turned the handle slowly and opened it an inch at a time. Then he threw the door open all the way and jumped outside. Let me help you, Grandma, he said, reaching for the big box she was trying to get through the screen door. Thank you, Chris. I was hoping to be able to bring this box of clothes inside by myself. I guess I'm not as strong as I used to be. After the box was inside, Grandma sat down to rest. Phew, she said. Mrs. Williams sure had a load of clothes for community services. Maria let out a long sigh of relief herself. We thought you had disappeared, Grandma. Oh, no, I just stepped out for a minute to speak to Mrs. Williams and bring in this box of clothes. I think your imaginations must be working overtime. Uh-uh, Grandma, Chris argued. What about my statue? My statue is missing. Come here, I'll show you. Grandma went into the kitchen with Chris. It was right here, Chris said, on the countertop. Now it's gone. Chris pointed at the countertop.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 4, The Missing Combination Mystery, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.